All right, let's see if we can make some progress in our 20th century survey. Very quick look at things that happened, the progression of thought in the 20th century, and get going. I'm going to try something for the first time in my 10 years, and that is to set some goals and things as far as this class, the publication of our survey material that we have already covered. And in fact, the first two are getting near ready to be put into function, both for this class and for our children. And so we'll just have to see how those things go. But I have been working the month of November on the first two booklets, and so we'll just see how much time and what we've got available. All right, let's prepare ourselves for prayer. We're not, in effect, studying doctrine, but we are studying the control of history by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, as we continue our quick survey of the history of the church, we are reminded of the fact that your Son is indeed in control, and that all history is moving toward the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. We study the attacks on Christianity and how, Heavenly Father, believers in various times in the church age have met these attacks, and therefore it becomes our responsibility to meet the attacks that come into our time through the understanding of Bible doctrine. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we have been studying development of thought and also some of the religions, and there's some more going to be developed, and I'll give you some highlights on that development. But just again to orient you to this class, the 20th century, the 19th century, 1800s, and then century we're in, is just an unbelievable age in the development of thought. And much of it counters the divine viewpoint, but we have how Christians have met the attack. One branch of Christianity went into apologetics. Others go into cults, some of them that we have already studied in the Christian Science and Seventh-day Adventist, this type of thing. Denominations are rising to counter all of this. And then there is a group that is being taken to a fervent study of the Word of God. So things are developing as far as time is concerned. I believe that last week we completed 1848. Good. So we're ready for 1849. So let's note a few things in 1849. Once again, some of you have mentioned a few things. I'm not hitting everything. I'm not hitting every medical thing, every scientific or musical, just some highlighting of things that you can orient to and that some of you will have on your trivia quiz and your trivia pursuit fund. So those are the kinds of things that we're looking for. But I'm particularly dealing with sometimes the thought and the writing so that you can see what is being written. I know you won't be able to relate to them because sometimes they're just papers, but they are very important for the development of the thought of man. All right, 1849, let's just start with America. Zachary Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, is inaugurated as the 12th president of the United States. So Taylor is the president of the United States. Also this year, Dickens wrote David Copperfield. For those of you that are interested, Who's Who began its publication. And Bill, Chopin died this year in 1849. He was born in 1810. All right, let's move to 1850. 1850, in America, moving toward the war between the states, Henry Clay. Henry Clay's compromise, slavery resolutions. He presented his resolutions before the U.S. Senate. And Zachary Taylor died. He became president in 49. He died in 50. And this is when Millard Fillmore, F-I-L-M-O-R-E, became president. He becomes the 13th president of the United States. Also 1850, Hawthorne writes the Scarlet Letter. And you should have read that somewhere in your growing up. The gas burner is produced in 1850. The gas burner is produced in 1850. And that's about it for 1850. 1851, Hawthorne writes The House of Seven Gables. This is all the period of the writing of Hawthorne. These are just some of the more important ones. Another very important book, The House of Seven Gables by Hawthorne, H-A-W-T-H-O-R-N-E. Another very important book written in 1851, Moby Dick by Herman Melville. Moby Dick. The first cast iron frame building was constructed in 1851. The first New York Times appeared in 1851. Uncle Tom's Cabin is written. Uncle Tom's Cabin. This was written by Harriet, H-A-R-R-I-E-T, Stowe, S-T-O-W-E. Harriet Beecher Stowe, Uncle Tom's Cabin. Also in the 1850 period is the Explorers of David Livingston. Those of you that are familiar with this very important man, David Livingston is doing his exploring at this time. The first development of the hypothesis of evolution is given in 1852, not by Darwin, but by a man named Herbert Spencer, S-P-E-N-C-E-R. He presents the first use of the word evolution. The first use of the word evolution in his hypothesis. For those of you that love the West, Wells Fargo is founded. Wells Fargo and Company is founded. 1852. Let's move to 1853. Franklin Pierce is inaugurated as the 14th President of the United States. P-I-E-R-C-E. Franklin Pierce is inaugurated as the 14th President of the United States. Also, in 1853, Verdi's La Traviata. At capital L-A, capital T-R-A-V-I-A-T-A. Also, in this year, Samuel Colt. C-O-L-T, Samuel Colt revolutionizes the manufacture of small arms. He develops the manufacturing of small arms that puts everything up to this point in antiquity. All right, 1854. By the way, 1853, if you're interested in this kind of thing, the largest tree in the world is discovered in California. All right, 1854, we have Tennyson's, T-E-N-N-Y-S-O-N's, The Charge of the Light Brigade. The Charge of the Light Brigade is written. Not much going on right now, just a few highlights of things. George Eastman, the pioneer in photography, is born in 1854. He'll die in 1932. George Eastman is born. By the way, all of this tells you these are the things being developed during this particular time of history. 1854, the Republican Party is formed in the United States. The Republican Party is formed in the United States. And then if you study American politics, this takes up a new nuance in the Senate and the House of Representatives and in the election of the Supreme Court. Verdi is writing, Wagner is writing during this period of time. W-A-G-N-E-R. And Verdi, B-E-R-D-I, are writing at this particular time. The printing telegraph is invented in 1855. So communication is really opening up, pictures, all of this thing. One thing's very interesting with the rise, since we're in it, because I haven't been giving it to you, so I'll just give you the momentum or the effect of it. As photography develops in the 20th century, artists decline. Because now people no longer need to hire artists to take the pictures. They can just take the photographs now. So the whole change of art is going to start developing. New things are going to happen in art that was not before, because before the camera and photography, you needed an artist to draw pictures, of course, and paintings and this type of thing. So they were hired out by a lot of people. But with the advent, as photography increases, they hold, it's going to have a great effect in art and throughout the entire world. So that just gives you a feel of what happens in that regard. Let's see, 1856, you have the massacre in Kansas where slaves are murdered by free staters. So massacres are starting to occur in the United States. James Buchanan, B-U-C-H-A-N-A-N, B-U-C-H-A-N-A-N, wins the presidential election in 1856. Woodrow Wilson is born in 1856. Woodrow Wilson, the future president, is born in 1856. Also 1856, Sigmund Freud is born. Sigmund Freud is born. He will die in 1939. Development of psychoanalysis and other weird psychological problems and things dealing with that type of area. Let's see, what else in 1856? Here's one for you people that are interested in sports. The longest bare-knuckle boxing fight in history occurred. It lasted 186 rounds, took 6 hours and 15 minutes. How those guys did it is beyond me. But if you want their names, James Kelly and Jack Smith. James Kelly and Jack Smith fought for 186 rounds, the longest bare-knuckle boxing match in history. Also, Big Ben. Big Ben is cast in England in 1856. 13.5-ton bale at the clock that, of course, is in England. All right, 1857, William Taft, future president of America, is born. All right, 1857, the Atlantic Monthly is found, something still going on today. Also, 1857, the founder of the Boy Scout movement is born. His name is Robert Powell. He was a British general, and he founded the Boy Scouts, something that is still in existence and continuing today. 1858, Theodore Roosevelt is born. Teddy Roosevelt is born. Had an interesting exhibit of his life at the LBJ Library in Austin for the past 2 months. All right, Oliver Wendell Holmes. Oliver Wendell Holmes is writing during this period of time, during 1850s. This is the high increase, as far as our study is concerned, in dealing with the Jews. De Rothschild, Lionel, L-I-O-N-E-L, small D-E, Rothschild, R-O-T-H-C-H-I-L-D, is the first Jewish member of British Parliament. The first Jewish member of British Parliament. Some of you have asked about church history. Here's another one. The history of the Christian church is written in 1858 by Philip Schaff, S-C-H-A-F-F. I think it's from 12 volumes, and I have that, and that's what is considered in seminaries and by people as the work on church history. The work on church history. All right, 1858, the New York Symphony Orchestra. The New York Symphony Orchestra gave its first public concert in 1858. Also in 1858, the National Association of Baseball Players is organized, for those of you interested in that. Dickens, A Tale of Two Cities, 1859. Now, 1859, we're going to have some more of these writings that I want you to put down so that you can see the development of what's happening in secular world and in the Christian world. All right, 1859, very important year. Charles Darwin on the origin of species by natural selection. In other words, evolution. On the origin of species by natural selection. Karl Marx, Critique of Political Economy. His critique, C-R-I-T-Q-U-E, Critique of Political Economy. John S. Mill, Essay on Liberty. That's the title of it, Essay on Liberty. There's a very important discovery made in 1859 that if you read the book on the development of the Bible, the canon out in the foyer by Bob, is the discovery of Codex Sinaiticus. S-I-N-A-I-T-I-C-U-S. This was discovered by L. F. K. Tischendorf. T-I-S-C-H-E-N-D-O-R-F. We will have to study him when we study our own study of the development of the Bible, how we got the Bible and the development. Very important discovery by Tischendorf in 1859. Also 1859, the song Dixie is composed. The song Dixie is composed by Daniel Emmett, E-M-M-E-T-T. Daniel Emmett. In fact, it's Daniel Decatur Emmett composed Dixie. 1859, the first oil well is drilled in Pennsylvania. First oil well is drilled in Pennsylvania. One of the first writings to show you the movement of time, one of the first writings on how-to books, the How to Be Successful in Life is written. It's written by a man, listen to his name, Samuel Smiles. How to Succeed in Life. The Suez Canal, his work on the Suez Canal begins in 1859. So it was a rather important year historically in a lot of ways. Abraham Lincoln is elected the 16th President of the United States, 1860. Abraham Lincoln is elected as the President of the United States. He is the 16th President. Also something we have already studied, 1860. We studied this in the history of Jerusalem. The Russian Orthodox Church built their monastery in Jerusalem. So you have the Russian Orthodox Church in Russia being built. Something that interests a lot of us during the year. In 1860 was the first British Open Golf Championship. First British Open Golf Champion started in 1860. The typewriter, by the way, is being revised and becomes quite advanced by this time also. All right, 1861, I'm not going to go through this. You should, you already have ideal, and we'll have to cover it during church history. But in 1861, you have the first shot at Fort Sumter, S-U-M-T-E-R, in Charleston. And that's April the 12th. This is the outbreak of the war between the states. A lot of things start happening at that time, and I'm not going to go through each of the battles. They're fascinating, and it takes everything I have not to. I'd love to give our study on the Civil War at this time, but we'll let it go. But that's when it starts, and that's how it starts. Really, it's pitiful how it started. Also, 1861, while war between the states is going on, there's something being written so students can read and have tests on, Silas Marner, S-I-L-A-S-M-A-R-N-E-R, by George Eliot. Silas Marner is being written in 1861. Russia, during this period, is increasing in its impact and importance in history. The Russian Orthodox Church, their influence in history in Europe, all that Russia is increasing, and I'm not going to go through everything at that, but you can just footnote getting ready for the Russian Revolution in 1718 and 1819. All right, also 1861, the first machine-chilled cold storage unit. The first machine-chilled cold storage unit. In other words, moving away from the icebox to the refrigerator. 1861, Troy, the first daily weather forecast. First daily weather forecast, and they were in Britain. This is the first daily. So, Troy's job goes all the way back to 1861 for daily forecasting. But Troy's up that by having a whole week ahead forecasted. Gets him in trouble sometimes. All right. Let's see. 1862. Not much happened in 1862. For the first time, they're able to measure the speed of light successfully. That's as far back as 1862. They are successfully able to measure the speed of light. 1863, a very horrible thing by Lincoln, the Emancipation Proclamation. Very, very horrible. 1863 is Gettysburg, and a lot of things happening in 1863 as far as the war between the states is concerned. Also 1863, a man that is going to be important in history of the history of Italy, he's a military, a poet, and a writer, Gabriel, G-A-B-R-I-E-L-E, Gabriel D. Annunzio, at capital D, hyphen, A-N-N-U-N-Z-I-O. Gabriel D'Annunzio is born. He will die in 1938, the fascist. And the thing I like about D'Annunzio, when you study personal and impersonal love, when whom you allow to influence you in personal love is going to have a great influence on your happiness. And we studied how you can have personal love control your life. D'Annunzio has some of the best writings, if you can find it. D'Annunzio has some of the best writings of people who have totally destroyed their life because of personal love. They loved and were so obsessed with it that it just ruined their entire being. So his writing is very depressing, so don't go look for it if you don't want that. But it is excellent for demonstrating what personal love can do if you do not stay in control of personal love. It shows, in effect, what I'm saying is it shows that personal love has no virtue. No virtue at all. In fact, personal love can destroy you. All virtue is in impersonal love, as Bob is well taught, and one of the greatest poetry and writings. I've got one by my bed right now that I'm reading by D'Annunzio, and it's really depressing, but it is just a beautiful illustration of the lack of virtue in personal love. We have in the same year, 1863, Edward Hale writes The Man Without a Country. Very interesting synopsis and study. In the philosophical realm, Huxley, T.H. Huxley. The Huxley family is important in science and philosophy. Very destructively important, though. T.H. Huxley, Evidence as to Man's Place in Nature. Evidence as to Man's Place in Nature. You've got Marx, Engels, Darwin, Huxley's. All of these type of people are writing all of their attacks and their counters to the Christian presentation. And that's what I said. You're going to have the rise in apologetics, the rise in various things to counter all of this type of thing. Rather than, and there will be some, just going to the Word of God and presenting it. Also, 1863, Henry Ford is born. 1863, Henry Ford is born. He will die in 1947. 1863, we have the methods of mapping the weather is developed. The methods of mapping the weather is developed by Sir Francis, F-R-A-N-C-I-S, Galton, capital G-A-L-T-O-N. Sir Francis Galton's date, 1822 to 1911. And he developed a method of mapping the weather. 1863. William Randolph Hearst, H-E-A-R-S-T, someone that's popular in the news in the 50s and 60s. William Randolph Hearst, the American newspaper publisher, is born. He will die in 1951. Very rich, very influential man in various segments of American history. Henry Royce, the Rolls Royce, R-O-Y-C-E, Henry Royce, is born. So we have Henry Ford, born 1863, and Henry Royce is born 1863. He will die in 1933. Henry Ford died in 1947. So in two continents, we're going to have two men born at the same time, and they will have a very strong influence in the automobile industry. For those of you for wanting, just put it down. Roller skating is introduced to America in 1863. Right, I can't believe anybody's roller skating while the war between the states is going on, but that's when it's brought in. Also 1863, here's something fun for trivia. The first stolen base in baseball occurs in 1863. The first stolen base occurs, and I guess if you have the trivia, you'll have to know who. Eddie Cuthbert. Eddie Cuthbert, C-U-T-H-B-E-R-T, and it was against the Brooklyn Atlantics, and he played for the Philadelphia Keystones. All right, 1864. General Grant, Ulysses S. Grant, becomes the commander-in-chief of the Union armies, and things start changing. Grant really is... had a very sort of a C student type personality through his going through West Point, and in regard to a lot of things in his life. He wasn't very considered very much, but I'll tell you about Grant that I've studied and learned over the years. Ulysses S. Grant was a man who was a plotter who accomplished, and he was able to simplify things and accomplish things. And it was Ulysses S. Grant's idea that finally ended the war. Everybody up to that time had attacked Lee. And they decided if you want to end the war, attack General Robert E. Lee. Well, Ulysses S. Grant had the greatest of respect for Lee. He said, forget Lee. Let's destroy or attack Richmond. If we capture Richmond and then capture slowly all of the other supply areas, the war will be over. And he just would not fight Robert E. Lee. Lee tried in a movement in the wilderness, in the movement toward Richmond, in the siege of Richmond. What happened was Grant was coming in this direction from Washington. Lee put up his front, and Grant just made a in-sweep move. Well, Lee outmaneuvering met him there, and he just kept maneuvering. He wouldn't fight him. And he just said, I'm not going to. And he just kept moving with the in-sweep. Came around on Petersburg, came up, attacked Petersburg, and right into Richmond. And then Lee took off over toward Appomattox, which was a supply station. And Grant was moving in this direction, and he had another general part of the army moving in this direction to keep Lee from jumping to the south here. And finally, they reached Appomattox, and Grant's army was here. Another army moving in this direction. Lee was completely surrounded, and the Union forces reached the supplies first anyway. In fact, it was Custard, Lieutenant Custard, who reached the courthouse at Appomattox first. But what I'm saying here, Grant was just a man who was able to analyze things, and he had great, genuine humility. Remarkable man. If you want to study a president of the United States of the past history just for fun, he would be a very, very good figure to study. All right, also, continuing, so that deals with Ulysses S. Grant taking over at that point, and a lot of things are happening in the war between the states. We're not going to go into all of that. Here's something that is important. By Karl Marx, in 1864, you have the first International Working Men's Association. The first International Working Man's Association founded by Karl Marx in London and New York. And all of the workmen's things that I told you about, dignity in work, the dignity of man in his work, join the workers, change the world, all of this type of thing against management, against the establishment, All of this is in Karl Marx's writings. This is the time period when Henrik Ibsen is also writing, H-E-N-R-I-K, Ibsen, I-B-S-E-N. He writes in a rather crude type of dealings with the mind, but I enjoyed reading him in drama. All right, also in 1864, the Pope, now here, what a twist in history we're going to have after this. The Pope of Rome in 1864 condemns liberalism, socialism, and rationalism. Just condemned everything. But what the point that this brings out to you, though, is what's happening. And religion is finding it can't handle these things. It doesn't know how to handle socialism as it's rising through Marx's movement. It doesn't know how to handle rationalism as it rises through Darwinism and evolution. It doesn't know how to handle the sciences and their development. And so it just wants to close everything down, and you're not allowed to think in those ways, and it should be condemned and done away with rather than hitting them with Scripture and the study of God's Word. 1864, Stephen Foster dies, the American songwriter. He will die. Richard Strauss, S-T-R-A-U-S-S, the German composer, is born. Richard Strauss. His music is very powerful. Something very interesting, 1864, Louis Pasteur invents pasteurization for wine. And so wine development will take a new thrust after 1866. He invents this in 1864. Also, you'll know when you hear these things in war movies, 1864, the Geneva Convention is established, and it established the neutrality of medical facilities on the battlefield. In other words, not to be bombed, and the train cars with the crosses and this type of thing, they're neutral. In 1864, In God We Trust was first put on the U.S. coin. There's one for you. 1864, In God We Trust. 1865, Robert E. Lee is made the General-in-Chief of the Confederate Army. That surprises a lot of people. Many people think he was the commander all the way through. He was not. Not until 1865. By then, it was virtually over anyway, and it's unfortunate that he was not appointed earlier in some respects, but that's when he was appointed the general of the armies. Also, 1865, Abraham Lincoln is assassinated. Oh, by the way, 1865 is Appomattox. The war between the states is over by the surrender at Appomattox. And just for your own interest, because these are the kinds of things that just boggle the mind to me, the first battle of the war between the states was fought in Manassas or Bull Run. Here is Washington, D.C., here's Richmond, and here is Manassas or Bull Run. It was at a man's house, Smith's house here in Manassas. He stayed in the Confederate, worked in the supply of the Confederacy for quite some time. He got fed up with the whole thing, and what he decided to do was move to the most isolated place where he'd not be touched by the war at all. He moved way over here to just a little bitty thing, a little bitty courthouse, and not much more there, a little place called Appomattox. And the final surrender between the war between the states was signed in his house. Now, that is unbelievable. Here we're looking at 1861, 1865, and they signed it. By the way, his house here was shot up, and when they signed it here, General Lee left, and, of course, it turned into the Union office for a while, and when they left, they took all of his furniture, they took curtains, everything he had as souvenirs. And so here's a man who, in order to get away from it, found himself right back in the middle. It's just one of those kind of deals. Don't fight it. I mean, they're going to get you. But just an interesting thing of history. All right, 1865, the war between the states is over on April 9th. On April the 9th, Jim Passmore and I were there on April the 7th last year. And it was very interesting to travel from Richmond over to Appomattox. It was really interesting because all the drive we drove, there are two different ways. One is just a freeway over, and the other, though, is Lee's retreat route. And they have little signs telling you. So we drove along Lee's retreat, and all the way, every place where there was a battle or some type of skirmish, you would see men and women dressed up in the Union and the Confederate uniforms. And on those days of those battles, they reenacted the battles. And it would have been quite fascinating to be there. And they were all in the open fields around Appomattox. They were bivouacked with their tents, just like they had during the war period. And some of them looked as scroungy as they did probably in the war period. But quite fascinating. And they do this every year. And different people come out. They have their horses, and the uniforms are exact replicas. And it was quite fascinating. We took some pictures of a lot of these people, and they have quite a time out there all night doing you know what. And I don't know how they were able to fight the wars the next day, but they were there. But it was really fascinating to see, and they studied the battles, had them all down. So it's quite fascinating. People travel everywhere for vacations, and right here in this country are some of the most fantastic vacations to be had. All right, also, Abraham Lincoln is assassinated on April the 14th, and Andrew Johnson becomes the president. For local news, the surrender of the last Confederate army occurred at Shreveport, Louisiana. I've also been at that spot. The surrender of the last Confederate army at Shreveport, Louisiana. The 13th Amendment to the Constitution in 1865, abolishing slavery. 1865, William Harding, future President of the United States, is born. William Harding is born. Also, 1865, something else to remember other than the ending of the war between the states and the assassination of Lincoln, you have the writing of Alice in Wonderland, Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. The famous author is born in 1865, Rudyard Kipling, K-I-P-L-I-N-G, is born. All right, some things that are being written. Again, some things that are being written. The rise and influence of rationalism. The rise and influence of rationalism. Positivism. These types of things are being written. 1865. Joseph Lister, L-I-S-T-E-R. Joseph Lister initiates antiseptic surgery. Something that we're all indebted to every day. 1865 is the invention of the ice machine. 1865, the first pipeline, oil pipeline. 1865, the founding of the Salvation Army. Oh, your ladies will love 1865. The first carpet sweeper was used in 1865. 1865, the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, was founded in Tennessee. And you should always remember as to why they were founded. We do not condone things today that they are involved in. But the Ku Klux Klan was founded to protect Southern white ladies. When the carpetbaggers came down, they allowed the colored people to rape the white women. They were abused. They were maltreated. And in many cases that are actually in record, the white carpetbaggers would hold white women while colored people would rape them. And there was so much horrible things going on that a group of men got together. They could not fight during the day or they would have been gunned down. So they countered the attack at night and in their disguise. And the KKK was founded in 1865 for very admirable and important reasons. 1865 for history, if you like the old movies. The first sleeping car was designed by George M. Pullman. The first sleeping car was designed for trains by George M. Pullman. Also, in 1865, the first train holdup occurred at North Bend, Ohio. The first woman was appointed as professor at Vassar College. The first woman professor, and it occurred at Vassar College, as far as history is concerned, in America. All right, 1866, very important year for development of things. 1866, the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment. This deals with dealings with the war between the states. A very important book that I hope, if you are a reader and have not read, the Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment. And let me give you the author. Dostoevsky. The book, Crime and Punishment. It is a classic. One of the first books that I started reading after a few years at Baraka. But it's a very important book, Crime and Punishment. If you are a reader, you definitely have that in your reading. Also, 1866, H.G. Wells is born. He will die in 1946. H.G. Wells. 1866 is the founding of Christian Science. The founding of Christian Science, and also the American Evangelical Alliance is founded. So you have the evangelical movement also occurring, but also the Christian Science movement. Let me just give you, some of you appreciate what we noted last week, dealing with the Seventh-day Adventists and the Mormons. Let me just give you a very brief synopsis of the Christian Science development. Christian Science is developed by a woman named Mary Baker Eddy Fry Patterson. That's all one woman. And her name is a lot bigger than she is. Mary Baker Eddy Fry Patterson. Most people just say Mary Baker Patterson. All right. Very quickly. Her dates are 1821 to 1910. 1821, 1910. Born in New Hampshire. From a Calvinistic home. Calvinistic background. She was ill most of her life and a very nervous person. Very little formal schooling and self-taught. So just to give you a little idea about Mary Baker. 1837, she joined a congregational church. 1843, she married a man named George Glubber, C-L-U-B-B-E-R, who died that year. 1854, she married again, Dan Patterson. This was a bad marriage. It ended in separation. 1862, she met F. Quinby, Q-U-I-N-B-Y. She met F. Quimby, a healer, who would use hypnosis in his healings. After meeting him, she started launching her own faith healing ministry. 1866, she fell on some pavement. She was healed. And she decided to start the Christian Science movement. 1866 is when the Christian Science movement actually began. 1875, science and health were going to be the thrust of her teaching and her life. 1877, she married a man named Gilbert Eddy. E-double-D-Y. 1879, they founded the Church of Christ. 1879, they found the Church of Christ. That's the Christian Science Church. Church of Christ, the scientist. In 1910, she died. Very, very basically, and it's almost dangerous to give it to you so simply, but the theology of the Christian Science, God is impersonal, and that is not meant in the sense that we study it. God is impersonal. In other words, he doesn't take a personal interest in anyone. All matter is an illusion. Sin, evil, and death do not exist. I mean, this woman is weird. And Christian Scientists are weird, if you've ever had an encounter with a Christian Scientist. So that's what's going on during this time as far as that type of thing. But it is amazing how these people, these cults, will catch on and just grow like wildfire. 1866, dynamite is invented by Nobel, Alfred Nobel, N-O-B-E-L, invented dynamite, 1866. Should have put it in someone's house at least. All right, 1867, Russia sells Alaska to the United States. So we lost again to the Russians. All right, no, that isn't true. All right, very important. 1867, Karl Marx, Das Kapital. Das Kapital, the capitalist, Das Kapital. 1867, the Roman Catholic Church starts a movement for the Ecumenical Council movement. The Ecumenical Council movement, very strong as it's going to go from this point now right up until today. 1867, Johann Strauss II composes the Blue Danube Waltz. Also 1867, Livingston explores the Congo. The African diamond field is also discovered, not by Livingston, but also discovered in 1867. 1868, Ulysses S. Grant. Ulysses S. Grant is elected President of the United States. You readers will also enjoy 1868, Little Women was written by L. M. Alcott, A-L-C-O-T-T. All right, 1868, Charles Darwin. I'll give you the name of it, but he's just continuing his writing on evolution. This writing is The Variation of Animals and Plants Under Domestication, and it's a more development on evolution. Books are still, I won't deal with this right now, but just put it down. Books are beginning to be written now in Civil War, coming from the war between the states and the French Revolution. So there are a lot of development of thought now about Civil War, civil action, unions, the workers, all of these things, inter-class struggles, all of this is being written or being dealt with. Braun is writing at this time. B-R-A-H-M-S is writing. Also, 1868, the first professional U.S. baseball club. The first professional the baseball club, the Cincinnati Reds, are founded. 1868. All right, 1869, more on what is happening in thought. Culture and Anarchy. Culture and Anarchy. If you're interested, Matthew Arnold. History of Morals. J.S. Mill, On the Subjection of Women. On the Subjection of Women. So all you have to do in this kind of thing, this is the interesting thing, is you see the thought and the development of man, how things are coming about at this time. 1869, the same Cincinnati Red become the first salaried baseball team. The first salaried baseball team. The famous ship, the Cutty Sark, C-U-T-T-Y-S-A-R-K, is launched in 1869, just to give you a date when you see it while you're looking for toys in the store. You stand there and say to whoever's standing with you that when it was launched. All right. Here's an interesting note, 1869, Princeton and Rutgers originate the intercollegiate football. Originate intercollegiate football. And it was between Princeton and Rutgers, 1869. 1870, very good book to read, and also a movie. Jules Verne, V-E-R-N-E, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. 1870 also, an interesting date for some, Robert E. Lee dies. He was born in 1807. He dies in 1870. John D. Rockefeller founds the Standard Oil Company, 1870. Founds the Standard Oil Company. So everything's getting ready for automobiles. 1871, Stephen Crane, C-R-A-N-E, the American writer, is born. Another interesting writer. All right, here we go. Charles Darwin, The Origin of the Species, The Descent of Man. The Descent of Man. 1871, Jehovah's Witness. Jehovah's Witnesses are founded at this time. I'll give you something about them, but let's at least complete 1871. You have such writings as Roman Constitutional Law, The Social Questions. These types of things are being written at this time. Since I've been keeping you up on what he's been doing, I'll tell you right now, 1871, Barnum opens, and this is the first time it's called this, The Greatest Show on Earth. And we've been developing how he's developed with his freaks and things, and he now opens the furthest circus, The Greatest Show on Earth, in Brooklyn, New York. Now, let me give you just a very quick synopsis of Jehovah's Witnesses and how they are developed, how this cult is developed. All of these are cults. The Mormons, who we've already studied, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Christian Scientists, and now we have the development of Jehovah's Witnesses. All right, let's just quickly go through their development. Charles Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L. Charles Russell, 1852 to 1916. He's born in Pennsylvania. His family was Presbyterian. At 16, he joined the Congregational Church. At 17, he left the religion or the study altogether. Became a skeptic. Congregational Church is sort of like the Episcopal Church. It's where you move to when you really don't want to believe anything. And but we'll come to all of that when we study church history. Now let me just run through the development. 1870, he went to an Advent Bible study. He went to an Adventist Bible study. 1870 to 75, he became a teacher in the Seventh-day Adventist, which we have already outlined for you. 1876, he became an Adventist preacher. 1879, he started the famous Watchtower. He started the famous Zion Watchtower. 1881, he formed the Zion Watchtower Tract Society. If you've never seen these, you're fortunate. 1881, he formed the Zion Watchtower Tract Society. 1912, he was involved in a great scandal involving a miracle. In 1912, he was involved in a scandal involving a miracle. It involved Wheaton of Wheaton College. He lost all that he owned and possessed at that time. In 1916, he died. The cult denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the Trinity, and they deny the immortality of everyone's soul. So that, again, is just a brief synopsis of Jehovah's Witness. But as I said, we will study all of these when we come to this point in church history. All right, let's just see if we can knock out 1872, get rid of another year. Grant is elected, re-elected president. Grant is elected, re-elected as president, even though there were a lot of scandals during his first administration. All right, also 1872, an interesting thing written by Jules Verne, Around the World in 80 Days, is written at this time. 1873, we have the development of the study of sociology. So socialism is gaining everything it needs. The economics, the philosophy, the theology, all the things that it's going to need for its development. 1873, color photographs are first developed in 1873. 1873, American football adopts uniform rules. American football starts adopting uniform rules. In other words, everybody starts deciding on what the rules will be. If you travel, this is the year 1873 that Germany adopted the mark as their standard of currency, their unit of currency. Well, I would like to have completed Let's just complete this half of the 70s. 1874. Winston Churchill is born. 1874, Winston Churchill is born. Robert Frost is born. Thomas Hardy writes, Far from the Maddening Crowd, 1874. Far from the Maddening Crowd, Thomas Hardy. 1874 is the first time Impressionism. First Impressionism exhibition is in Paris. The word Impressionism is derived from the name of the painter Monet. Monet, M-O-N-E-T. He made a painting called Impression Sunrise. And from that is the development of the Impressionist movement, 1874. From a painting by Monet, M-O-N-E-T, called Impression Sunrise, and this is the first use, as far as art is concerned, of Impressionism, and it will take on, and the exhibit will occur. 1874, something we're still dealing with, the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children. The Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Children is founded. The first American zoo is founded. I don't particularly like the sport, but since it's popular, 1874, tennis is brought to America. A woman, Mary Outerbridge, saw some British officers playing tennis and brought the game to America. And let's just finish the 75, and now we'll be ready for the last half of the last quarter of the 19th century next week. Thomas Mann is born, German novelist. Mark Twain writes The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. Albert Schweitzer, S-C-H, is born. Albert Schweitzer, S-C-H-W-E-I-T-Z-E-R. He is born. He will die in 1965. 1875, the first swimming across the English Channel. All right, let's get ready for communion and our study of Galatians. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the time, the interest that we have in the study of the Word of God, the study of history. And Father, as we continually learn all the things that men do in view of the attacks and the problems of their time, it is an encouragement, Heavenly Father, for us to continually seek refuge in your Word. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen.